Hey, what's up? This is Josh from JustUsGeeks.com, and you've stumbled upon episode 209 of the Just Us Geeks podcast. Just a brief warning, there will be spoilers of Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice, in this Mom Jeans-filled episode. Do us a favor, head on over to Facebook.com/JustUsGeeks. Give us a like over there. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram, @JustUsGeeks. And if you've missed out on our videos from LexCon, shame on you. Thousands of people have it, and they're awesome. So go subscribe to us on YouTube, YouTube.com/JustUsGeeksPodcast. I think that's all I've got to promote before we get into this yawn of justice. Joining us for episode 209 of the Just Us Geeks podcast is one Logan Barnes.
I am very angry.
You are very angry. Save that anger. Save it for just a few more moments. Also joining us is one Mechaleka Heidi Hode, Ian McAnally.
There was not enough margarita at Mi Toro
to make
that movie worth watching.
I thought there was going to be, but then there wasn't. Also, James Stratton.
Hey.
There it is. Hey. All right. Look. Let's just turn that
Mom
off.
Mom Say, turn that off.
All right.
Mom Jeans.
Yeah. See, it's I've already gotten riled up about this, and so we're not even gonna play around.
Reiterate one more time.
Yeah.
Spoiler-filled episode.
Yep. I don't even know what I'm doing with the music over
spoilers,
here.
Spoilers, spoilers, spoilers.
If you don't want to be spoiled,
if you don't
stop
want
listening.
It ruined, stop right now.
Yeah. Hold on. Wait.
And go watch it and then turn this back on. Hold on.
You know who had one health? All those people Batman killed in Batman versus Superman.
Yeah,
Donald
yeah Batman
and
kills like 40
Mom Jeans
people.
And there's a spoiler.
What a bag of
Mom Jeans.
All right. So let's talk about Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice.
There you go, Gub. Have fun with this one, buddy.
It's been a long time since... It's not been a long time since we've done a movie review, but it's been a long time that I can think of that I went to see a movie that I had really zero expectations going into.
And except, it gave negative expectations.
Yeah, like, I'll say this. Like, when saw the Michael Bay's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles... Had no expectations. I was really trying to set the bar real low. And I ended up enjoying it because, you know, they're turtles. It's fun. What do we get? We get redemption with what looks to be a pretty good TMNT 2. So we all suspended our disbelief when Zack Snyder said, hey, I can direct, you know, DC Comics movies.
Yeah.
And gave us...
Hey, now, to be fair, the first time he did direct a DC Comics movie, we all really enjoyed it.
300?
Was that Vertigo?
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's... Well, I mean, it was the Frank Miller version of it.
I think all he does is Frank Miller movies. That's,
yeah.
Yeah. Oh. And then after that, there was Watchmen.
Well, I mean, Zack Snyder, when he did 300, he spawned a new type of movie,
right,
which
was
that...
The green screen movies.
Yes.
Yeah. Which
yes.
He was like, I can just do this in every movie I do from now on.
Now, the question that I would pose to anybody... is name one good movie that he's done outside of 300. And I know a lot of people that don't like 300. Name one good movie he's done.
I happen to like The Watchmen.
His Dawn of the Dead remake was good. Watchmen was good.
Watchmen was not good.
There's a lot of people on the fence about
Dawn of the
Watchmen.
Dead was pre-300.
Right,
though.
It was.
Yeah.
Okay.
Have you watched the 3.5-hour cut of Watchmen?
Yes,
it's really good.
Another hour of that guy sitting on Mars explaining his stupid story.
They add in the Tales of the Black Freighter animation.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a critical part of that entire story.
And so they add it back in, and it makes the movie complete.
Yeah, but we're going to say
the 3.5-hour cut.
He got into the 300. He found some success and was like,
let's just do this over and over and over again and make a million.
It's like
dollars.
He and Guy Ritchie started hanging out and was like, you got one style.
He made that kids movie. Remember with the owls, the Guardians of Gahool.
Yeah, and you see how many sequels that movie got.
Yeah. Probably about as many sequels as this one's going to get.
There were like 12 books in that series.
This is already a sequel, sir.
Well, yeah.
Do you think Warner Brothers, like the execs are at the table right now, like scrambling?
Oh, no, because the fans are eating this thing up.
Some folks are. I mean, the reactions are very, very mixed right now.
Okay. Critics hate it, fans love it.
Rotten Tomatoes currently, when I'm watching, or as I'm looking at this, tomato meter is 30%.
Yeah, but that's critical review.
That's critical.
Audience score 77%.
That's significantly down from the 99 it was previously.
But yeah, people have gotten a hold of it.
The gap there between...
Yeah, there's a 40% gap.
It's because people who just like seeing Batman on screen, it doesn't matter if it's like a turd in a Batman costume.
Did you hear that?
They just happened to cast the absolute best person they could for Batman.
Ben Affleck was not a turd in a Batman costume.
No. I'm just saying.
And let's just get that out of the way right now.
Ben Affleck, I called that Bob Dean 3 years ago.
Yes, sir.
Ben Affleck was going to be the bomb as Batman.
And he's great. He and Bruce Wayne.
And a live-action iteration of Batman and Bruce Wayne, he brought the thunder.
Oh, my God.
It's a shame the character was written too poorly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was horribly written. And, you know, he was rewriting stuff constantly, trying to make it better.
Yeah.
But he could not rewrite the entire movie.
He only had like four lines in the whole thing.
Yeah, so. I mean, like, it was not... I really don't know how to explain it.
He didn't even get a writing credit. He rewrote a lot, though.
Well,
and should have gotten a writing credit.
This is one of the reasons that I am totally on board with Suicide Squad.
Oh, yeah. David... David Ayers?
David Ayers, I think it is, yeah.
Is that his name?
But like...
Fact checker?
Who? Oh, okay.
Yeah,
well, if he just puts the
Bob Dean
Joker in jail instead of murdering that guy, I'm going to be pretty upset.
Yeah, well, that's what he did in this one. But anyway, so...
Which,
I mean,
we only
got one tie-in, to the best of my knowledge, which was
the Robin costume.
That was the only tie-in we got the entire movie.
Joker's Jason Todd. I'm calling that now.
I still don't know. And
that makes sense.
Well, yes.
Well,
David Ayer.
Yeah.
And he did the tank movie, Fury, which was awesome.
Oh, that had Brad Pitt and Shia LaBeouf and a whole bunch of good people in that.
Scott Eastman.
Yeah.
Or Eastwood.
Eastwood. Eastman. That's a different one.
Yeah, different guy.
My thing about the movie, which was and people have been saying this, and you're going to continue to hear this in reviews and people that talk about it. That movie just was depressing as hell.
Yeah.
It just did not feel right.
No.
There is no levity in the movie whatsoever.
No, whatsoever.
Like, if you went into Man versus Steel,
Man versus Steel.
Wait, was
that's
that
what it was?
That's where you just survive in a city naked.
Yeah, where Superman and Batman fight each other. If you thought that Man of Steel was dark and lifeless.
Oh my gosh.
You ain't seen nothing
you
yet.
You ain't seen nothing yet, buddy.
Are you ready to see the highest body count be owned by Batman?
Ever?
Seriously, 40, like 40 some odd people.
And see,
to be fair, though, they were bad guys. Although, I do disagree. I don't like the fact they had Batman killing people and using guns.
And using guns.
Not Batman.
You can snap those necks.
Now,
Dark
Knight Returns, yes, he used rubber bullets, and apparently you said that
the Frank Miller
comics.
I do
not recall him using a AK or anything. I only recall him using the rubber bullets. That is all I recall. But
anyway, he killed everyone he saw except for Superman's mom. I mean, basically, he was like, "You're dead.
You remind me of my mama.
Yeah,
I will not kill you.
Yeah.
Well, and then the other things that things felt pigeonholed. Things just felt jammed in there so they could be in there. Like it was such a big, huge example of how Zack Snyder, Warner Brothers, and everybody that has anything to do with the DC Cinematic Universe has no idea what they're doing.
So let's start.
What I heard today, somebody told this to me, and it was I believed it. Was he said? You know, it felt like DC, like they're setting up all this stuff for this new universe. But they for these other movies, they're setting up all this stuff for other movies. They forgot to make this movie.
Yeah.
That makes so much
sense.
Well,
I mean, The Flash appears for like a second.
We'll get to there. Yeah. So let's just start from the beginning. I think that's probably the most fair way that we can do this.
Okay.
Spoiler alert. Apparently it is Glenn that dies in The Walking Dead because now Negan's hanging out with Maggie in the opening credit.
Yeah.
So that was a really interesting little cameo.
I didn't understand that. I just saw the comedian hanging out with some broad.
Yeah. Some broad. Anyway.
I don't watch stupid Walking Dead show.
Here's my thing. If you have at your disposal any character which currently exists in any property, multiverse or not, that you currently are in charge of, if they are of age to play a role, whether it is young Bruce Wayne, whether it is The Flash, use them.
Oh, you're talking about the fact that they used some random kid instead of the dude from Gotham.
Yeah, they could have just used him.
Or using Ezra Miller as the Flash instead of Grant Gustin.
Really just Ezra Miller as the Flash. I mean, that I will say that Green Arrow and Flash, I do not watch them.
I love them.
Well, they've made it very clear that their television universe and their movie universe are two separate places.
And that is a mistake.
Correct.
That is a big mistake.
Now, from a marketing standpoint, that is a huge
mistake.
Because I've got like a niece or nephew, you know, we'll just say we got family.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, let's say your kids want a Flash action figure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's go into the store and look. And who's the Flash that they're going to recognize? Is it going to be Ezra Miller's Flash, or is it going to be Grant Gustin's Flash?
No, it's not going to be Grant Gustin's Flash, I can tell you that.
Well, no, it would be Grant Gustin.
Oh, yeah, he's the one TV. Yeah.
That's the one that's on TV. That's the one that, and I don't know if your kids watch it or not, but that would be the one that kids see on a weekly basis. There's millions of people watching Grant Gustin as the Flash. You have a built-in audience who would come watch this movie.
I dare say that the very reason they were able to make this movie is because of the CW series, both of them.
It's Greg Berlanti is his name.
And didn't Zack Snyder comment on why the TV guy... Because I don't watch The Flash.
He's made a couple comments about it, and I can't really recall what they are, but they're pretty crappy comments. I think basically he said was,
what's the guy's name that does it on the TV?
Grant Gustin.
He said... He just didn't fit the role.
He's too light for the universe, probably.
And I'm going,
that has to be what it is.
How does he not fit the role?
There's too much levity on the TV. There's too much levity in the TV shows.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean it's like a comic book where it's kind of funny sometimes? Yeah.
Yeah, and like, you know it's funny fun. Books.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Yeah, not...
It's lighthearted. It's a great show, though. I mean, if you haven't watched Flash... Do yourself a favor, Josh. Watch Flash.
Okay. I mean, does
season one's on Netflix?
Okay, I didn't know that.
Binge season one; you will love it.
Okay, I can do that this weekend.
Does Warner Brothers not realize the property that they're dealing with here? No. That it's not to be taken that seriously. I mean, for goodness' sakes, you have a talking gorilla as one of your main villains.
What they're trying to do is they're trying to go with the Frank Miller universe, which he was the person who made comics dark and gritty.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And which is fine.
But I mean. Come on, we're doing Justice League. We've got a dude in red and blue tights flying around.
Tights. No, God, no. There's some Kryptonian nonsense. Armor.
Yeah. Everybody thinks, though, like, I think most people in our generation and most people now, when they think of Justice League, they think of the DC animated universe Justice League.
Yes, absolutely.
That's what I think of automatically.
I guarantee you we all have in our mind the exact same picture of the Justice League, that animated photo of the Justice League.
The title card. Yes.
And, you know, like, it was really funny because Lucy, she watches a heck of a lot of Teen Titans Go. I know a lot of people hate Teen Titans Go, and I know there's a lot of things that...
it's a funny show.
...that... you know, stopped happening because of Teen Titans Go. But I can say this, you know, when I left the house today, when I left the house today to go watch this movie, she was watching the episode of Teen Titans Go. It's a two-part episode where...
Ooh, cliffhanger.
...the Teen Titans have to rescue the Justice League because they're captured by Darkseid.
And right, is this Teen Titans Go or Teen Titans?
This is Teen Titans Go.
The stupid one where they're all chibi characters?
Yeah, the anime kind of...
Yeah, it's Teen Titans Go.
It's the funny one. It's really funny.
The fart joke one?
Yes.
Okay, all right.
It's the point.
Logan's on board.
Yeah, that's the point. Anyway, so in this particular episode...
Somebody farts.
Darkseid is played by Weird Al.
Okay. So,
yeah.
What?
Yeah, so like they give him a cough drop and like his voice clears up and it's Weird Al.
Yeah.
Anyway... So I was like, "Oh yeah, I'm gonna go watch the Justice League movie tonight." That's the conversation that I got to have with her. I was like, "And because in that episode, the point of the episode is Cyclops really wants to be in the Justice League."
And, Cyclops,
or not Cyclops, but Cyborg.
Yeah.
Really wants to be in the Justice League, and they break into the Hall of Justice and like eat their snacks and all kinds of other stuff, and then they get captured. The Justice League gets captured, but it's fun, and my kid recognizes these properties.
Your kid cannot watch this Batman v Superman movie.
I guarantee
she'll cry.
I guarantee you, she could not pick a single one of those characters out from the movie stills if you paid her, because you know
I don't know, the Batman costume was the closest to the comic
Iron
books.
Bat.
No, well, I mean, that was done in the Frank Miller Dark Knight.
I loved his costume. I thought it was
great. But his regular costume was the closest to a comic book that it's ever been in a movie. And I love that.
Oh, yeah.
I still had issues, but I loved his costume.
He should have made the Kryptonite gloves. That's all I'm saying.
Well, we'll get back to him. But like
we're
whole
still
thing,
at the beginning of the movie.
My, my whole thing is you have actors that you could use, that you should use, especially
they're
with
under
the
contract. Well, you can use them.
Especially with the Flash. That's the character that can be lighthearted. Yeah. He's the guy that you can pull from and use.
He's the comic relief in the Justice League.
Yes. What they've done is they've just taken for granted that all of these people, and they were right, I guarantee you, we will come back and we will see how much money they've made. And they were right.
Oh, they'll make a lot of money.
That these people just went and watched it anyway.
And I'm telling you right now, if you're listening to this and you haven't seen it, don't. Pirate this movie, please. Yeah.
Warner Brothers says that I can't condone.
No, no, but...
No, Warner Brothers says that they need to make $800 million global to break even.
They'll break even.
Oh, global. That's easy. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
They'll break even with this one because of the names. And see, I just from the outset,
it's going to be hard. They'll need to make $400 million domestic, and that is going to be near impossible.
I think they were projected this weekend was...
135.
No, I thought it was 395.
Nope. So. 135 domestic is their projected weekend.
Because things started falling apart this week. Going into the week with the movie, like all these critical reviews came out, and it's not been good. But I'll just say, for me, at the jump of the movie, if you got these people under contract that you can be recognized, I mean, not to compare them to Marvel, we're not just considering comparing
does
to Marvel,
it right.
But they do it the right way. I mean,
Marvel has a shared universe, and DC's like, we don't want a shared universe, but that's stupid.
Yeah,
because everybody's going to shared universes anyway, so just do it.
And you know, it's almost like I always say this, and I feel like I'm always going to be right about this. And I feel like at some point, at the end of Civil War / beginning of Infinity War, this is when Marvel's going to run into their problems. But we are always only going to see Peter Parker Spider-Man, because that's who the general public knows.
And there is
Spider-Man.
Like, there's a reason for that too. Sony has no option but to have Peter Parker as Spider-Man. There was
they don't own the Miles Morales.
Yeah, there's a contract that got leaked like a year ago. And it's like all the things that Peter Parker has to be in a Spider-Man movie. And if it's not, you cannot make this movie.
Well, I don't think they would do it anyway.
And one of those things is a straight white male. It has to be.
I don't think they would do it anyway. And I think that Marvel's going to get some pushback when they kill Cap. I do, because...
Yeah, but with the Infinity Stones, they can bring him back if they want.
Yeah, it doesn't matter if they do it or not.
Nobody's going to stay dead for long. I mean, somebody's going to die, and then in Infinity Wars, they're going to bring him back.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think that killing Cap, and it sets up Bucky to take over the mantle for a little while, and then you get him somewhere in Infinity Wars coming back.
But after Infinity Wars,
saving the day,
they said that
the universe will be fundamentally changed.
Yeah, they're going to... I have a feeling that after Phase 3, they're going to wipe...
The slate clean.
Reality Stone.
And you know, boom, start over with new characters.
You get the Reality Stone.
But see, my whole thing is I don't think that moviegoers with just casual knowledge are going to buy it.
No.
I don't. Which is why...
They're going to have to, like, get people to buy it with the movies.
They're
going
to have to
explain the out of it.
Well, yeah, I definitely don't buy Batman killing 40 people in this movie.
No, and see, that's the thing.
I don't.
You have to play to what your general average public knows. And...
Well, I don't think your average public knows that Batman doesn't kill people.
Nah, I think that they do. And
they make that a point in all of the previous Batman
movies. Like, I was thinking about the scene, the only good part, in my opinion, of the entire movie was when Batman goes to save Martha Kent. And he goes in there and he just takes out that entire room of people.
Non-violently.
And he's... brutal.
I mean, it's violent.
Brutal.
It's non-lethal.
And then he gets a gun and shoots people.
Yeah. Like, it was so well choreographed. It was so well done. I actually sat up at the end of my seat and was like, dude, I'm really excited about this. This looks great. And the only thing that I could think of was the scene in the Dark Knight with Christian Bale when he's at the top of that...
the Joker Tower.
The Joker, and he's got all the people dressed up like the SWAT folks.
Yeah.
Or the
And he's using his bad vision.
Yeah.
With Morgan Freeman.
And then he figures out a way to non-lethally and safely take out everybody.
Everyone, yes.
But that's part of him and his smarts.
And that was like the one thing he did in that entire Nolan verse that was like detective-like.
Yeah. Like it was him having to think on the fly and use his smarts because, yes, it's harder for him to get out of situations. Because
he's not going to just shoot people.
He's not just, that's the point of Batman.
That's his challenge. His
parents were killed and he said never again.
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
And then here he is dropping 40-plus people. Let the bodies hit the floor, y'all, because that's exactly what happens.
Well, and it really is like the folks at Warner Brothers were like, well, you know, people got real upset that we, you know, probably killed a whole bunch of people in Metropolis in that first one. Well, let's just like have Superman kind of apologize for it in a way, and then we'll just let Bats do the rest of it.
The thing that gets me is at the very beginning of the movie, it shows Bruce Wayne going out of his way to save people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then like... He's all pissed off at Superman because he let all these people die. And then he's just like, well, I'll kill everyone with collateral damage. Yep. I don't care.
Like the whole principle of the movie is that he sees all these people
injured. Still don't want to play devil's advocate, but he was only killing bad guys. I know he doesn't kill people, but he was killing bad guys.
Yeah. But like, you know, the whole principle is like he sees all this destruction. There's this guy that is, you know... I did like that
the fact that the movie pretty much opens with that scene at the end of Man of Steel, and they start like kind of just insert Bruce Wayne and his point of view into it. I was like, because I just watched Man of Steel last night.
Oh, that's not, I would advise you doing that if you hadn't.
And I
done
was
it.
Like, oh, okay, well, this is neat. I watched this last night. Oh, we're at this angle.
Oh,
I get this.
The movie opens with the same stupid origin story again with the pearls flying everywhere.
At least it's not like 20 minutes of it. It's just told in brief flashbacks.
Still
over
not necessary.
And
everyone
over
knows.
Again.
But it wasn't done correctly. It wasn't done in the alley. It wasn't done behind the opera.
I don't
house
think
the that.
No, they did. The Frank Miller version, which is what they were going with, was at the Mask of Zorro movie. They did it. They did the right, like with the verse that they were going with
the Dark Knight version.
Yeah, they did the proper.
I think a better opening scene would have just been Batman beating the crap out of people somewhere.
Yep.
Or like
1989 Batman. That's how that movie starts. He just picks up a criminal and like threatens to kill him.
Here is a better opening for this movie.
He would have killed him
This is a better tie into Suicide Squad. Him taking down one of the members of the Suicide Squad and getting them captured and put in. Yeah. How great would that have been as an opening? Now I've got, say, the Croc or Deadshot or somebody.
Didn't they just fight the Croc in this one?
No.
Oh, no, wait. That was Doomsday. That
was Abomination from Marvel.
Yeah. That's exactly. Yeah.
Marvel.
Yeah.
It was Buff E.T.
That was Radioactive E.T. Definitely steroided.
I don't know. I just feel like that they just from the beginning, this movie was just wrong.
Didn't make sense.
I mean, we got more origin story, and then... one of my big issues, obviously, is the fact that Bats kills all kinds of folks in this. But what's this timeline? Like, where are we?
We're 2 years after the Man of Steel incident.
But
18 months, thank you.
But like, where does Batman come into that? Because
he's been Batman for 20 plus. I mean, Alfred says it. You've been doing like 20 years of fighting crime.
Okay.
Means nothing.
That's great, but like the cops don't know who he is.
But that's the
people
other thing,
like
though.
Refer to him as like it seems like no one really knows who he is.
Why does Clark Kent act like all of a sudden this is news? If he's been doing it for 20 years, why is he like, this is important right now?
Well,
you've got some weird bat vigilante.
Literally over there.
Yeah. Hey, well, you also got to remember that in Man of Steel, Gotham wasn't right over there.
Yeah.
That was just like Gotham City like magically appeared across the river.
Oh, yeah.
For this movie. Well, like, in Man of Steel, Gotham was not right across the river.
Actually, that was a question I had during the movie. They kept going, well, I'm going to take him over to Gotham and meet him in Gotham.
They're
and
called
I'm like,
sister cities.
It's,
and they're like,
it's always been like New York to New Jersey, though. Like they
well, yeah,
even,
yeah. I mean, yeah.
But
the,
it wasn't
the,
that
the
way.
Map, in, yeah. On like the DC map, yeah.
So when he was
like Metropolis is New York and like Gotham is in New Jersey.
Yeah.
So when Superman was standing on top of that of LexCorp and he was looking across
that
the river,
he was looking at Gotham.
Oh my God!
But in Man of Steel, there was nothing there.
Yeah, that wasn't.
I'm fairly
a thing.
Certain there wasn't even a river.
Oh my God!
Oh my God!
Here's the thing, like. We're gonna catch a lot of flack.
I like
for this.
The movie though, guys.
We're gonna catch a lot of flack for this episode.
I don't care.
But I don't really care because this was just.
It was terrible. Can we talk about Jesse Eisenberg for a second?
We'll get to him in a minute, but like this was just a bad movie. The story was convoluted. It was poorly done. There was way too many characters. Gal Gadot
was
horrible.
Gal Gadot was good.
Oh, my God.
I enjoyed her Wonder Woman.
They should have replaced Wonder Woman entirely, not have her in the fight scene. That should have just been Batman and Superman beating on Doomsday. They should have replaced her with Catwoman so Batman would have had an extra supporting character.
And
it would have made more sense for her to steal stuff.
Yeah. That's true.
I mean, you made a comment a while back about Spider-Man showing up in Civil War.
I hope it's not just like a Wonder Woman style appearance.
And it just was like, oh, he's just here. And that's, I looked over at Logan and I poked him. I was like, hey, remember that comment you made about Spider-Man just showing up in Civil War?
Yeah.
And I said, that's exactly what this feels like.
Yeah, but
like
I mean,
now.
Like Diana Prince has been like, she was around the entire movie. She didn't just like all
she
of a
was,
sudden show up.
Yeah,
she was everywhere.
She
in that
was,
movie.
But like, you could tell that was not really planned from the get-go.
She was not written like Diana Prince at all. Because Diana Prince and Wonder Woman, she's just supposed to be very forceful and a strong person, not like crafty and stealing stuff. She's going to tell you to your face that you're
she's
stupid
doing like
and
this corporate
you.
Espionage. Yeah. And
that
know.
Just doesn't fit with her character.
No,
it just didn't.
No. I don't know. Somebody else has got to write these movies.
I still liked it. I mean, it was not a great movie. It was better than Man of Steel. I'll give it that. I enjoyed it way more than Man of Steel.
James?
Because there was Batman.
Yeah, well,
I mean.
Yeah, I liked Batman. Deadpool better than this movie, if that tells you anything.
Wow.
He said
whoa.
He kind of teased that might be the possibility. I guess it happened.
It turned out to be true.
Oh my gosh. Why?
You hate Deadpool.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that was an accurate comic book movie.
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
This may have been accurate to Frank Miller, but nobody knows.
No, it wasn't accurate to Frank Miller.
Yeah. But
it was accurate to Zack Snyder.
They took elements of Frank Miller. I mean, Zack Snyder even said it himself. He goes, oh, yeah, if somebody wanted to do a Dark Knight Returns movie, they could still do it because we didn't take enough of that into the movie. There were just little elements.
But
oh my gosh.
It was not accurate. The characterization was all wrong on so many levels.
Yet I still like Batfleck.
I think you just like him because you had that set in your mind before you went in there.
No, I like him as Bruce Wayne.
I went back in
Batman.
Like while you guys were watching it to watch like Batman scenes.
He was written too poorly for me to get a sense of how he was.
It's got nothing to do with the writing. I think that like
he portrayed the character in a way that I can see enjoying like a full movie.
I didn't get it out of it. I really didn't. Because he only had like 12 lines in the whole movie because mostly this movie was punching.
Do you
bleed? Yeah. Like that.
Okay. Let's,
didn't give me chills or anything.
Number one, the voice.
The voice modulator? Genius idea.
Finally, somebody doesn't have to do a stupid Batman.
Yeah, I was so glad that he'd have to stupid, like,
what is this doing? Why is he trying to kill me?
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to do it,
I was like,
I'm not wearing hockey pads.
They've been doing a voice modulator on Arrow, and like in Flash, he can vibrate his vocal cords to where it changes the way he sounds.
Right.
So they like it makes sense for them like to use the voice modulator, and I was like, why has nobody done this in Batman? And finally they do it, and I was like, okay, this sounds good.
Yeah.
You don't have somebody going, it's just, you know, somebody talking normal and their
through
voice
a modulator.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, he does have all of this high tech, you know, super advanced military
technology. And I cannot say enough how freaking awesome Jeremy Irons was as Alfred.
Yeah.
And I have loved Michael Caine as Alfred. I have. And he's been a great Alfred. But Jeremy Irons, like,
Oh, he was awesome.
That's the Alfred that I've always wanted.
He made a much better sidekick, like a
like an actual
I'm helping
Alfred.
You be Batman. I'm
not, not like, here's your clothes, Master
I'm
Wayne.
Not just serving you tea and
wiping your butthole.
Serving you tea and giving you guilt trips since the 1930s.
He left the lobster thermidor in the refrigerator.
I don't know, but I would much rather watch the Lego Batman movie than I would another Batman movie.
That was an awesome trailer.
Not 20 minutes. Stupid.
Stupid. Two.
I mean, it's
I said during the Lego movie that he was brilliant. That, like, he was one of the best parts of that movie.
He was genius in the Lego movie.
Oh, my gosh.
And it's,
First try.
It's great that they gave him his own movie.
Yeah, and he needed his own movie. Yeah. I mean, and it was perfect.
If you didn't know what we were talking about, attached to the movie is a Lego Batman trailer.
It's all on the internet.
You can just see it online now. Yeah. I think it was released.
Yeah, it was.
I just want to go watch this again so I can just watch that again.
Mm-hmm. But
even the Ghostbusters trailer was more enjoyable.
Which they recut. Did you notice that it doesn't say four scientists? It says four friends.
Yes.
Speaking of cuts, Lex Luthor's theme song in this movie was so annoying. The meh, meh, meh. Like every time he was on screen.
One of my thoughts while watching the movie, I was critiquing the entire score of the movie going that.
Junky XL.
It just
did not sound good.
Like even the Nolan verse Batman had some kind of it felt connected to the Tim Burton.
Well, connected to Batman.
Yeah, it felt connected to Batman. It had that feel to it. It had kind of the very similar sound. Mm. This was non-existent. It just felt
it was out of place.
There was so many parts of this movie that were just wrong. It didn't flow together.
The biggest one, I think, outside of Batman killing people, is probably Jesse Eisenberg as Lex Luthor.
That Lex Luthor was terrible.
Was I thought it was the Joker.
Like he almost seemed like he was. I can't remember what I said.
The Joker.
I was talking to somebody. I was like, he was.
I got more.
Get your mom jeans in there.
I know.
I got more.
I've lost.
I got more of the Joker out of him than I did Lex Luthor. Because I leaned over to Josh in the movie and I was like, this guy's
schizophrenic.
Just, yes.
Yes. Okay. There it is. I lost my words. I felt
Thank you, Fred, for telling me that word in my head.
Like Lex felt to me like he was schizophrenic.
Yeah.
But I leaned over to Josh during the movie and made him realize. I was like, this characterization is just the Joker.
When he started showing the pictures of Martha, I leaned over at Logan. I was like, are they trying to pull from the Killing Joke right now? Or are they trying to like get a little bit of that in there?
Yeah. Like, what were they doing with this guy?
And I'm like, okay, there's Superman's motivation to go and fight Batman for seemingly no reason whatsoever. And up until that point, Batman just seemed like one big bully that for whatever his motivation was, he just was hell-bent on
killing Superman.
And that came with the bad storytelling because all of a sudden at the very end of the movie, you go, oh, Lex was playing the two against each other the whole time.
Yeah. Was he?
I figured that out. Yeah. But why?
Yeah, exactly.
What we purpose don't know did why. That serve?
Yeah, none.
We don't know why.
He was just wanted to be a puppet master. I mean, like, he wanted to be right.
At least the Joker would have told you that the reason he's going to show you that everybody can dissent. Everybody can fall into madness. Everybody can be as bad as he is. And
they made Joker jokes in this film.
They reveal a little bit of Lex's intentions when he's making the speech and he loses his words and he says, because knowledge without power is unfair.
Yeah.
And he thought because he was the smartest guy in the room that he should have all this power. Yeah.
But
and that's
what
it was.
Did you ever get a sense in the writing and the way that the character was portrayed that
he was the smartest guy in the room? No.
No, not even once.
Uh-uh. No.
He was just some kid who thought he'd have some fun with some toys.
You know
that's
who
more
he was?
Joker to me.
I was waiting on somebody to go, where does he get those wonderful toys? I waited the whole movie.
He was just Mark Zuckerberg again.
But I mean,
it's who he was.
If and I don't want to hate on Jesse Eisenberg.
I do because he's terrible.
I do like Jesse Eisenberg.
I don't. He's a horrible actor, and he's terrible to his fans.
He really kind of just plays the same thing over and over again.
Yeah, yeah. He made some horrible derogatory comment about having to show up at Comic-Con.
Yeah, a couple years ago, he was like,
when they announced him.
Do I have to do this thing? Yeah. Like, yeah.
And all you people are staring and breathing at me. Yeah. It's like, ugh.
I hope not. I hope you don't ever have to do it again because they're like, we made a big mistake.
They made him
Mr.
go crazy.
Eisenberg, I was about to defend you a little bit, but you know what?
No.
Bob Dean.
Buddy?
No. I've got no defense of Jesse Eisenberg.
And he came out and apologized afterwards, but you know.
He had those feelings still.
His
yeah.
publicist made him apologize.
I hope Kevin Spacey found him somewhere and just like beat him in the face to make him like, you're not going to ruin this character.
He you did. Yeah. He totally did.
Oh, man.
I think the writing was just bad.
Yeah, the thing that we can always say is like he was not the actual Lex Luthor.
His father was Lex Luthor Jr.
So. Yeah.
Which is dumb. I mean, it's so dumb.
I don't know why they just didn't hire Bryan Cranston and just have regular Lex Luthor.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you very much. I'd have been happy with Bryan Cranston as Lex Luthor. I mean, I just wanted that. That'd have been great.
My thing with Lex Luthor is Lex Luthor was never mentally unstable. He was brilliant.
Oh, yeah. Genius.
But he was cold and calculating and just...
And in the movie verse, wanted land.
Yeah. Lots of land.
Yeah.
He was a capitalist.
Every movie, every Superman movie from the 70s up until the 2000s, like 2006
Superman Returns,
movie,
yeah.
His major plot point was like, I got to get some land.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he was a rich old white guy,
Trump.
Yeah.
Lex Luthor's
always been the smartest man in the room, but he never felt the need to prove it.
Yeah. Right. That's the best comment.
That's a very good way to put it. Yeah. He knew. So he would just plot people against each other without saying anything. He didn't have to announce his plan. He knew better.
Lex Luthor never came off as like a half-wit teenager either, like Jesse Eisenberg just did. Yeah,
he was not a petulant child.
Like,
but
like unstable, like he's about to snap at any moment.
Yeah, because
he left a jar of pee on the senator's desk.
Yeah, I mean, in every scene, like you could tell that it was the direction, it was the writing, that everyone that was around him in close quarters, whether it was like him one-on-one, like with that senator or anyone else, like they were like visibly uncomfortable because that's
how uncomfortable were you guys when he put the Jolly Rancher in that one senator's mouth
and then licked his fingers
super uncomfortable.
That was like so weird
because
there were a lot of audible.
That's a Joker thing though. Yeah. Like I could see the Joker doing that.
That's not a Lex Luthor thing.
It's Cherry.
Just stop, dude.
I don't know whose idea that was. But it was the worst.
Zack Snyder's.
Yeah, I'm going to say that. Yeah,
I'm putting it all on Mr. Snyder here at this point. Look,
I guess so. I mean, and it bothers me that I know that like Kevin Smith has watched this movie and he loved it.
I think he loved Ben Affleck.
I'm going to say love Batfleck because I love Batfleck too.
Yeah, Batfleck was awesome. Yeah.
I also think this is a lot of that high that you get from crossovers and stuff because there's a lot of the time like, just seeing two of your favorite characters or important characters on the screen can make a moment feel better than it actually is.
Yeah, that's why they you know, interplayed three Wonder Woman there at the end.
So that more people would flip their stuff about
that
it.
That guy that was sitting...
Lose their...
Bob Dean.
The one that was sitting next to me on the other side, like, did you feel him, like, beating the seats and, like, shaking
when
the
Wonder
whole
Woman
row? Every time somebody would show up, like, he was over there, like... Just having a conniption.
He was
so
having
epic.
A seizure.
Yeah. He was so
we
excited.
We should have paused the movie.
No, okay. Before we go any farther, I'll just say that if I had been really excited about this movie going into it, the
Bob Dean
in front of us just totally ruined it going in. Had like
you're not listening to the show, so
she's not like had a great thing going in. It was lighthearted. The people behind us were like
the lights were still on in the auditorium.
The lights were on until like the movie started.
Yeah,
and so like it was fun.
People were still filing in.
People were having a good time. Like the Lego Batman trailer came on. It was hilarious. People were having like a good time. And what did she say? Like
she turned like, around. Excuse me. We're trying. We want to enjoy this movie. So
oh, for the Harry Potter one.
She goes specifically. She goes, hey, can you guys stop talking? We're trying to watch this and we're trying to have a good time.
And without missing a beat, Ian goes, it's just the trailer.
I was like, I said, it's just the preview. She goes, yeah, but we're trying to watch it. We're trying to enjoy it. And then I wanted to look at her and go, well, pull out your phone because these are all on YouTube. You can watch them at any point in time. The house lights are still up, you stupid little
Bob James.
Get out of here.
But
and then they did. They did.
Then they got up
yeah,
and left.
Yeah, after you kept talking super loud through the first part of the movie.
That was intentional.
Yeah, but that's still not something you do. I got to say that.
It is if you need room for your feet.
Were you talking?
Not that bad.
I honestly didn't even hear
No, he was still really loud when Batfleck was going on.
I heard the people behind us being a little bit loud at the very beginning. And then I saw them like get up and walk away. And then I was like, okay.
Great. Now I can put my feet down on that chair in front of me.
I did. Yeah, there's a little less... Well, I'm not going to say that.
Uppityness over here. But, you know, like, they
we weren't completely not at fault. I'm going to say that.
Well, I wasn't. Okay. I was not talking during the movie, but I was totally talking during the previews because you can watch that stuff on YouTube anytime you want.
During the previews, that's fair game.
Yeah, it's fair game. Anyway, so I just, I don't know.
Can we talk about this movie or what?
Yeah. I don't know. What else do we need to say about this besides don't go watch it?
We haven't really talked about the plot.
Okay, let's talk about the plot.
What happens? In your words, what happens in this film?
Yeah, please go in and tell me what that plot was, James.
Explain the plot of this movie, please.
Okay, here we go. Here's the synopsis.
Okay. I've been waiting on this since the movie started.
Bat shows up in a dream.
Yeah.
That was Man Bat.
I totally never looked at it. I was like,
great cameo.
I was like, there's a good cameo. Yeah. I peed just like I did during the last Arkham game when Batman Bat showed up.
I did not understand one of the dreams, like with the Omega sequence, like the fire tornadoes.
Yeah,
maybe you have some
insight. I think that was a Dark Side thing. I'm pretty sure. That was pulled from another comic with Nightmare Batman.
Yeah, because that's how they list in the big scene that everybody was like, does he really unmask him that we've seen over and over?
Yeah, it was in the trailer.
The Funko Pop reveals that character, that mock-up of that character is Nightmare Batman.
Yeah.
So, yes, that is Nightmare Batman.
K-N-I-G-H-T. Nightmare.
Nightmare Batman, yeah. Yeah. So, continue. That's the name,
sequence.
Yeah. But, like, the plot, I still don't really...
Well, I mean, you had... Lex Luthor apparently making these two plot against each other, which you don't find out until the very end of the movie.
Yeah.
But like I had issues with how did Batman know that the kryptonite was on the boat?
Mm-hmm.
How did he know?
No official report of it being moved.
Was leaking information to him?
How did they find out what kryptonite really was? Like,
they did do tests like that. I will back that. They had that piece and they used, introduced a little bit of it to the cells of Zod.
Admittedly,
and it was decaying the cells.
He discovered the white Portuguese was a ship after hacking Luthor's files. So he could have known about kryptonite then and just figured, like, pieced it together.
He could have, but like, overall, like, you know, we get to see all this stuff from Metropolis, and then like here's some dudes swimming around in the Indian Ocean. Like, how are they? Like, there's some kryptonite.
Well, and that was explained in Man of Steel, the World Engine. Mm-hmm. They had one part of the ship was over Metropolis. The World Engine was in the Indian Ocean.
Yeah.
And when Superman blew it up, it all like just fell into the water, and inside one of the Genesis chambers. Was a hunk
core.
Of kryptonite. It had a kryptonite core. So, because I was wondering how they were going to introduce kryptonite so soon into this universe.
Yeah.
And they did explain the kryptonite.
Very poorly, but they did explain it.
At least they didn't go, oh, a meteor fell from the sky.
Yeah, exactly.
At least they were like, oh, it was a part of the engine, of the world engine. Yeah. So, there's a reason it's here.
Right. Yeah. And that I'm okay with.
Some of the storytelling was coherent, but not much.
My thing is, all right, so Lex Luthor had this plan the entire time that he was going to use the kryptonite to destroy Batman, but he was also going to manipulate...
Wait, he was going to use kryptonite to destroy Batman?
I mean, to destroy Superman but he
Maybe.
Was also going to manipulate Batman into fighting Superman.
But why?
No,
I think he wanted Superman to kill Batman, and then he would have...
Viable reason.
Well, and he would have the kryptonite, and he could kill Superman, and then there would be nobody to stop
him. He would be, I saved the day. Look at me. I'm the big hero. I've got the knowledge and the power.
Which makes sense if you're playing Lex Luthor that way, but they didn't play Lex Luthor that way.
They played him as a crazy, stuck-up kid.
Yeah.
But so he gains access to the down ship in the middle of Metropolis, and he walks in there. He figures out how to work it. And then somehow, some way, he figures out that I can drop Zod's body in here and
make
I can make Doomsday.
The Genesis Chamber.
Yeah.
It was a
they
Genesis
talk about
chamber.
That in Man of Steel. The Genesis Chamber is where they grow
Kryptonians.
Kryptonians. Okay. Yeah, that's explained in the first movie.
But why?
They could have. He was cloning Zod, but then he was like, "Oh, I need a backup weapon just in case the kryptonite doesn't work against Superman or whatever." It was there, but it was pointless. Lex Luthor would have had enough confidence in his plan, and that would have been his downfall.
Regular Lex Luthor would have looked at the idea of a doomsday and went, "This is a bad idea.
This is going to destroy the city. Yeah. I can't rule after this guy comes out.
I can't do anything.
I can't rule nothing."
Yeah.
He had a lot of land, though. That was the land. He was just destroying the city for the land.
Bob Dane, you Lex Luthor.
He was a genius, guys.
You sly son of a
Bob Dane.
You. It's only taken us 5 hours to figure it out, but we did it.
We have cracked the code.
Zack Snyder, you're brilliant.
Maybe this movie was really a good movie.
We should go back and rewatch it.
No. It's all about the land.
I feel like this should be a board game of some kind. I want to be Lex Luthor in the next board game.
Well, notice when he's looking at the painting, he doesn't blame things that come from the earth, only the sky. The land is okay.
He stands on the land.
He morphs into Kevin Spacey when he comes out of the Genesis chamber.
That would have been awesome.
Gosh.
Would have been, Kevin Costner cameo.
Oh, yeah. I leaned over to
Logan.
It's like,
this is the best scene in the whole movie. Yeah. So
I was like, up to this throwing rocks.
Yeah. I was like, this is the best 15 seconds of this entire movie because, oh my gosh, Kevin Costner shows up and he acts the hell out of like six lines.
But wait. Did they make him... He's real. Like, what did they do there? Like, they make him Jor-El because
it's a dream sequence.
I know that, but like,
he was not the same Pa Kent as he was in the first Man of Steel. Because in Man of Steel, he was like in a flashback scene when there's young Clark and he saved all the kids on the bus. He was like, "Well, what was I supposed to do? Just let him die?" And he goes, "I don't know, maybe."
Yeah.
Pa Kent would never say, let him die.
Yeah.
Pa Kent was the one instilling him with the sense of right and wrong.
He made him be Superman.
He had the responsibility to help people. And Bob Dane, Kevin Costner did not do any of that.
None of it.
He was like, let him die. You're different. They'll kill you.
Yeah. You remember all that stuff I told you before I got blown away by that Nader?
Yeah.
Forget it all.
Which would not have happened in the comics. That's what happened. Like, the thing about Pa Kent would not die from a tornado because Bob Dane, Superman would save him.
Yes.
The reason that Pa Kent is dead in the comics is cancer because Superman can't beat cancer.
That's it.
It's the one thing he can't beat, folks.
I mean, but my thing is Kevin Costner's just awesome in any.
He's got a new movie coming out in a couple weeks.
Also, the pointless vague setup of the dream within the dream when he's visited by the Flash, where he's all
was
like,
that the
Lois,
Flash? I thought it was Cyborg.
No,
for a minute, if you've seen the costume and the set previews, the set photos.
But how, if you haven't,
but it's not, that wasn't a dream.
How are you supposed to know that?
But see, here's the thing that we probably should talk about. That wasn't a dream.
No.
Like, that is a plot point that we will come back to in three movies from now.
There's no point in it. Like, it's.
No, because it's going to be, he wasn't really talking about Superman. It'll end up being, he wasn't really talking about Superman.
Lois Lane is the key.
Or they'll explain time travel in some other way. And I told Logan.
Are they going to do the New Gods, you think?
I don't know. But like, I told Logan. They showed that of the Flash. They showed all the other stuff from the Justice League.
The 2 seconds of Jason Momoa. He got his own poster.
Idiot.
They should not have given him long hair because that looked terrible underwater.
Well, and he totally looked like he was holding his breath the entire time. And I'm like, does Aquaman look like he's having trouble
breathing?
Okay, so my biggest issue with this film is that Bats runs off and forgets the kryptonite spear, to which Lois Lane's like...
Chunks it in the water.
Yeah, so I told Logan, I was like...
Aquaman's coming up out of that water.
I told
That's
Logan,
exactly what I said.
I was like... We're about to see
Aquaman's going
to
jump out of the water.
I was like, they have successfully kept the fact that the entire Justice League is in this movie under wraps. And then it didn't happen. Like, the one thing I wanted this movie to do, didn't do it.
Lois was about to nod. I was like, serves her right.
Yes. Yes. And then, but I was like, oh, here he comes. Finally, we're going to see Aquaman.
Bob Dane. Soups.
He's just like, well, I'm just going to go in there and get it.
I'm fighting Doomsday. Oh, Lois is in trouble. See you guys later.
Yeah, I hated that scene because it breaks the flow of the action.
Yep.
He just goes over there and then they make out for 20 minutes.
And guess what? They made Superman a pussy. Thank you very much.
And here was the other thought that I had during that scene.
Did Superman cry?
Yep.
At some point, was he crying?
I think that he did.
Yeah, he totally did.
Yeah.
Now, here was my...
Over Amy Adams.
Yeah.
So, spoiler alert, Superman dies twice in this movie.
Twice, by the way. He gets blown up by a nuclear
bomb. No, he has two funerals, but he gets blown up by a nuke.
Oh, yeah.
And he's dead until the sun rises and
he looked pretty bad.
Bob Dane.
Floating out there.
Oh, yeah. Like,
he looked like Bizarro.
Yes, I thought it was Bizarro there for a second.
There was pieces of him floating around him, like little bits of skin. You're like...
He looked just like
Bob Dane. Tim up.
Dark movie, people.
And then, the sun really hits him, dark. And he like wakes up. He's like, "Oh, I got to go fight people."
And then for some reason, like,
he got that funky high off the yellow sun.
Yeah. Then for some reason, they're like, "Well, let's just keep him in a box because we don't know that the sun does good stuff for him."
Yeah.
Well, like, but, revives him.
But, I mean, anybody that knows like anything about the death of Superman knows that Doomsday is the one that kills him.
Yes, and that's
for like 2 minutes.
That was my issue here. Is like. Here in this one film, they've put like 30 years of comic history.
Yeah, they've done like three major stories
in 45 minutes. Like 45 minutes.
The last hour of the movie, they cover like Doomsday, Dark Knight Returns, and like you said, a little bit of Kingdom Come.
Yeah.
I mean,
just little touches.
I don't know what they're doing.
There's no focus in this movie whatsoever. It's like they sat down and said, okay, what are all the most popular, storylines that the fans love so much? How can we just sprinkle a little bit so they are all happy, but then we're just going to do whatever the hell we want to anyways.
That's look, guys.
It's like you said.
What I've said, though, from the beginning is we have to get through this movie to get to Suicide Squad.
I know. And Suicide Squad.
I've never been.
I just have zero faith in this after this movie.
I
think Suicide Squad is going to be awesome.
It's going to be their redeemer.
Yeah.
Like, because the trailers, both of them look awesome.
But see,
the second trailer for Batman looked terrible.
Yeah, the trailers for Batman v Superman were awful.
Yeah. I don't think that, for me.
I think they're going to do too much again in Suicide Squad, though, having 18 people on a team.
They've got one goal.
I know, but it's still like 18 people, unless it's like an Ocean's 11 movie where they're trying to like steal some gold.
I think it's
going to
be like that, yeah.
That's what they say it's like. It's like a Dirty Dozen kind of movie.
Yes.
A Dirty Dozen or like
Ocean's 11.
It's kind
of like Suicide Squad. Yeah. But like, here's my thing. I think the Suicide Squad is going to be great.
I think.
But we're going to have to watch a Justice League movie at some point.
Because.
Yeah, we got another year or two for that.
You still got the multiple plot lines in Suicide Squad, though, because Batman's in it and the Joker's there.
Batman's only in it for like 5 minutes. I think Batman is the person, like, at the beginning of the movie.
It starts the scene with the Joker.
And he catches Joker. That's like how Joker
gets doing like the Jason Todd thing.
That's what I believe. Yeah.
I don't think we're getting Jason Todd until, like, we're not going to get that storyline until the first Batman movie.
I don't think we'll get that storyline, but I think that is Jason Todd as the Joker.
Oh, yeah, I totally agree.
Because the burn Jay and the messed up Robin suit. There's just too many.
I'm just going to say it's not, and one of us is going to be wrong. I don't think it is. I mean,
I think it is.
I
think if the rumors are true, our first Batman movie, like the first Batfleck standalone, is going to be Red Hood.
Yeah.
I would buy that.
Okay.
And I think that would be awesome.
Okay. Yeah. I'd be good with that. As long as he writes it.
Jeff Johns and Ben Affleck are writing. Yeah, Jeff Johns is like the keeper of the DC universe.
The Batman
Batman
now.
Yeah. Although and I will say
his Earth One
if
Batman
I see
stories
one
are
gun
awesome.
In that movie, I'm walking out. I'm just.
Did anybody
he
notice?
He uses rubber bullets. Now, if they'll use rubber bullets in the guns, I'm fine.
Yeah.
He can have a gun with a rubber bullet.
Well, yeah. I mean, like.
Yeah, but he's already proven that he will murder people.
Yeah,
like that precedent has been set.
It needs to look like tech. It doesn't need to look like guns.
Yeah, and that's the issue.
Let's talk about that fight scene, though. The 15-minute fight scene between Batman and Superman.
Oh, where they punch each other like four times?
Well, and the fact that, Superman gets, he shows off and he like catches that grenade.
Yeah.
And then it blows up and it's the
kryptonite.
Aerosol kryptonite.
I looked at Logan and I said, Superman is dumb as shit.
Bob Dane.
Yeah. That's exactly
what he's never been smart, though.
Yeah. He already knew that, though. Like, he already knew that that's what it was going to do.
No, he didn't know that.
No,
But the second time, yes, the second time it happens, I was like, there's no way in hell that he gets hit by that two times.
Dodge it, yeah.
He's not even there. He He's not even there.
He somewhere runs else. Right into it.
Yeah. And then he's like, oh, God, now.
Or use a super breath to blow it away. Like,
exactly. Or his heat vision.
I understood.
You're faster than a speeding bullet, but apparently not a lob grenade.
I understood the first time when he catches it, it blows
didn't
up.
Know
he
what
had
it was.
No clue what it was. But then that second time would unexcusable.
No way. He would know.
But I was very happy that Batman did beat him.
Yeah,
we're going to give that away. Batman wins.
Yeah. Could have killed him.
He totally could have just killed him.
Had his foot on him, had the kryptonite spear to
his
face.
That was a dumb scene, too. Why are you saying that name? Why are you saying the name?
Yeah.
Why are you saying that name?
They got to be best buds real fast, yeah. And that was just really forced.
Well, I mean, could you imagine if they fleshed out some kind of resolution between them that took time? Because
sounds like a good movie to me.
I wonder what the R-rated 30-minute longer cut is going to be. Is it just going to be Batman like cutting people's arms and legs off?
Like Jigsaw?
Just blowing people's brains out with his revolvers that he has now? I don't...
Guys, I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, I'll definitely watch a 30-minute cut.
I mean, like, what... Maybe... Here's my hope for, like, the extended edition. Maybe there is a lot that we missed, okay? Maybe there's a lot of critical things that they cut.
I mean, when you cut 30 minutes out of a movie,
why would you cut it? I mean, so we're
going for time.
Well, I understand that, but like, there's a lot of fat that they could have cut if the stuff that they've left on the floor that's in the stuff they want you to buy.
The what's her name that everybody thought was going to be Carrie Kelly, the female Robin?
Yeah.
What was her name?
Oh, Jenna Malone.
Malone, yeah. And she's not.
Yeah,
she's not Robin, there. But. But her character was cut completely
she's
out of
Bat
the movie.
She's Batgirl. She's Batgirl.
No, they said she's not Batgirl. She's not Robin.
No,
she's not
Gordon.
Batgirl.
What?
Yeah. But her character was cut out of the movie 100%.
Oh, my God.
And yeah, she will be back in this. The R-rated cut.
For like 15 minutes, like they introduce every other character for in this movie.
But we don't know what she is.
What was the official runtime on this one?
2:30.
2:30.
Yeah, 2 hours, 30 minutes. And it felt like it. It felt like 3 hours and 15 minutes.
Yeah, the only reason I started talking towards the end, because I just got bored. Like,
yeah, I kept
That's what that's why Supes went to save Lois, because he was bored too. He was like, yeah, man,
I can't win this.
This fight scene is badly choreographed. And
I couldn't tell what was going on.
Did you guys notice that in the dream sequence, how slow the fight choreography was?
Yeah.
Like,
I was like, I hope this is not real. This better not be real.
My gosh.
This was so slow.
Even the very first Avengers movie, when they do that big sweeping shot,
yes,
where like they're just...
You see them all going
in a circle?
It's Cap and Iron Man and Scarlet.
Talking about when they're in the circle.
No.
The camera's going around.
No, I'm talking about the very first Avengers.
Yeah.
The one where they do that sweeping shot and you get
It's in a circle.
It's a circle.
Oh, is that a circle? Okay, yeah. Never mind.
That's what a circle is, Ian.
When you go around.
Everybody's back to back and it's a big circle.
Yeah.
Did they blow up in any kind of funny shapes? Not unless you think round's funny. So, the shot where you actually get to see like iconic moves from like
these characters,
like Iron Man shooting into Cap shield,
yes.
And they choreograph that stuff so well because they understand how important shots like that are. Man, that's nerd.
The CG fight with Doomsday though, I couldn't even see Wonder Woman for half of
no.
it.
No,
she blended in with the darkness.
Yeah.
Well, it's because apparently in her movie, the Wonder Woman movie, she's got three costumes.
I don't know.
And they've already shot that movie. They took a week's or 2 weeks.
They took a week and shot the Wonder Woman movie.
No, they took a week or 2 week break to do all the premieres.
Uh-huh.
And they go back next week to finish up the Themyscira stuff in London.
Uh-huh.
And then in April, they start shooting Justice League.
Wow.
Yeah, whoa. They're that far ahead. They've already got, Suicide Squad's in the can. They're, like, finishing up special effects, scoring it, and it's done. Wonder Woman is 90% done. In July or in April, they start Justice League Part 1.
And you know what really scares me about all of this?
They don't even have a script.
Yeah. And the fact that they're going to react instead of sitting
they
down.
They are
going to
react.
And going, okay.
What do we do?
How can we do this right? Let's hire the right people. Let's get.
They're just going to be like, this movie made $800 million worldwide. Let's make four more exactly like it.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I don't know. I mean, because if it just makes $800 million, it's not profitable.
Yeah, that $800 million breaks even.
Yeah.
$800 million pays everybody back and covers the cost of the premieres and the advertising, because they spend a lot on advertising.
Uh-huh.
And so $800 million covers all those costs.
This just gets me excited for Civil War, though, because I know that movie is at least going to be decent.
Me too. And this
is going to be fun.
This is what I think I may have needed from these superhero movies.
I still like Batfleck.
I love Batfleck. I can't wait to see more of it.
I'll buy into that.
After watching this movie, I would almost give the Fantastic Four reboot a pass.
Nope. This is way better than Fantastic Four.
Oh, I never saw it.
Way better than Fantastic Four.
Almost.
You flame on out of here.
Bad. Like I said, though, I would watch Deadpool again before I watch this movie.
But Deadpool doesn't have the Lego Batman trailer in front of it.
Hey, you could put it there. James, I could just watch it on my phone and then
then Deadpool.
Hey folks, the trailers are better than this actual movie is.
Also, if you go watch this movie, be kind and leave when the credits start. There's nothing at the end.
Yeah.
Do not make the ushers wait on you to clean the theater.
They don't do that in DC.
They do not have anything. You're wasting your time.
They have no subtlety in the DC cinematic universe.
It's like in Man of Steel at the very end when the Warner Brothers logo comes up and you're like, oh, I thought there was going to be something. You hear in the background, you hear something go, uh-oh. I kid you not, I heard it in the theater and I watched it last night and it's on the Blu-ray.
What is this?
It's at the end of Man of Steel when the Warner Brothers logo splashes up on the page at the very end of the credits.
Uh-huh.
Right as the Blu-ray's fixed and go back to the menu, you hear a voice go, uh-oh, like oh, we got you to stay.
Oh, that's creepy.
Or, you're about to go spend money to see this next movie we're going to make that's going to be a crock of crap.
Uh-oh, we forgot to put a scene here.
Yeah.
But yeah, I did check today to see if it was at the was at the end of that one. It wasn't there.
One trick pony there.
Yep. But anyway, there's nothing at the end. Do not make your ushers and people wait on you. Just
go
leave.
Home.
Grab your stuff and leave.
Please grab your stuff. That'd be great.
Best movie of 2017 is going to be Batman v Ninja Turtles.
No, we just watched
that. That's a comic book. That's a legitimate crossover.
Yeah, I sent the photo of it in the group.
No,
today.
I thought that's what we just watched. That was one big Ninja Turtle, right? And Bats was in that.
Buff E.T.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
He did look like Abomination, though.
Yeah, he did look like Abomination.
A ponderous, smothering, over-pixelated Zeppelin crash of a movie scored by a choir that sounds like it's being drowned in lava.
See, I tell you, the score was bad.
What was your Snyder comment? Like, how was he defending? Yeah. Let's bring that up.
His justification for Batman murdering the crap out of people... is
murdering the crap out of people.
Because he killed like 40 people in this movie. Have we talked about that yet?
Did you guys know that Batman killed a lot of folks in this movie?
With guns.
The only thing
with real bullets.
The only people he didn't kill was his parents.
Somebody else got those.
Yeah. Here is his exact quote from ScreenRant.com. I tried to do it in a technical way. There's a great YouTube video that shows all the kills in the Christopher Nolan movies, even though we would perceive them as movies where he doesn't kill anyone. It's those stupid fan theories where it's like, oh, somebody could have died here, somebody could have died there. I'm pretty sure that's what it is.
Yeah.
I think there's 42 potential kills that Batman does. Also, it goes back and includes even the Tim Burton Batman movies where this reputation as a guy that doesn't kill comes from. So I tried to do it by proxy.
Wait. He says that the reputation of a guy that doesn't kill comes from Tim Burton. Not the comic books that have been around for 75 years.
Not the source material.
Well, even in like his first appearance, he shoots people with machine guns in the comic
books. That is true. Yeah.
So I tried.
It wasn't until Bill Finger, who got a credit on this movie.
Yeah.
So
it wasn't until Bill Finger that he didn't start to do all that.
So I tried to do it by proxy. Shoot the car they're in, the car blows up, or the grenade would go off in the guy's hand, or when he shoots the tank and the guy pretty much lights the tank himself. I perceive it as him not killing directly, but if the bad guys are associated with a thing that happens to blow up, he would say that it's not really my problem.
I agree with that to an extent, but like he just flat out
was shooting people.
He shot that tank to purposely blow that guy up. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, no, the one part I think that I looked at you was like when he was swooping in with a bat jet and he just unloads the machine gun
on people.
Right into that dude, and then it just explodes, and that you see the body of the dude like flying backwards and coming to pieces, and then you're just like,
Batman Logan murdered that guy.
They're not even trying to hide this anymore. It's not even trying to be like...
A little more like manslaughter than murder. Although I would say that in the Frank Miller comic book that I reference, he kills all the time. There's a scene from this graphic novel where he busts through a wall, takes the guy's machine gun. I took that little vignette from a scene in The Dark Knight Returns. And at the end of that, he shoots the guy right between the eyes with the machine gun. One shot. Of course, I went to the gas tank and all of the guys I work with were like, you've got to shoot him in the head because they're all comic book dorks. And I was like, I'm not going to be the guy that does that. But you're still going to let him murder 40 or 50 other dudes.
Oh, I would rather you let Batman kill one dude with a headshot than 40
because
different
people. Sends a message.
Yeah.
Like, if he shoots that guy in the head it to was save like, it, Martha Kent.
Yeah.
Okay, then I understand the bond between him and Superman.
Yeah,
because then you have the whole General Zod situation at Grand Central Station.
Yes. Right, like Superman killed Zod because he had to make a choice.
Yeah.
It's either Zod or those people.
The bottom line is, in Man of Steel, he is Clark Kent with superpowers. That's how he becomes Superman.
What Superman didn't think about in Man of Steel was covering his eyes.
Oh yeah, he could have just
done that, and then
you're thinking too hard, James. Yeah. You're thinking way too hard.
The lasers would not have hit him.
Yeah,
you're thinking way too hard,
and he didn't have to break their necks.
He could have just punched him in the face real hard, or something like that.
Anyway. Or he could have just picked him up and moved him.
Okay, overall,
to space.
Overall, everybody, let's overall
give it a number, 1 to 10. 1 being worse, 10 being the best.
I gave it we did this earlier today. I gave it a 7 because there's stuff about the movie I enjoyed, and. It's by no means, I said it's like a 6 or a 7, but yeah. I was like, by no means is it terrible, but by no means is it a great, it's not Dark Knight.
No.
You know, like Dark Knight good, but it is not Fantastic Four, Josh Trank Fantastic Four bad.
No. Logan?
I would give it a 3 or a 4
out
of 10.
Okay.
For sure. Just because the story didn't know where it was going, there was too much in it, it was visually unappealing, it didn't do it for me. At all. Like the one thing I did like was, I guess Batfleck's acting was okay. I didn't get enough to get a sense of it from it, honestly. But I cannot buy Batman murdering that many people. Yeah. I just can't do it.
Yeah, that's I do not agree with him killing and using the guns.
Because like in their last little team up pose, he's got a sawed off shotgun.
Yeah,
I mean,
no. Was that a shotgun or was that his grenade?
That was his grenade launcher.
Yeah, he was using to. That was the kryptonite.
The kryptonite smoke
gas,
gun.
Yeah.
That he was also killing people with. Ian, 1 to 10.
I have to agree with Logan. It's about a 3 or a 4, and I'm leaning heavily towards
a
3.
Yeah.
I'm gonna be generous and give it a 5 because
you consider this an average movie.
No, because for me in movie like for me with movies, average is more like 6.5 to 7, because like there was enough about this movie to redeem it that far for me, and their names are Jeremy Irons and Ben Affleck.
Yeah,
and that's really about it.
But
Zack Snyder has to get his hands away from this project.
Yeah,
he's doing Justice League.
Well, then he's going. And here's my problem:
we're
going
to have like 3 movies with Batman not killing people, and then he's going to go back to being a murderer.
No, Affleck, he's going to kill people in Justice League, I'm sure.
Affleck
That's what I meant.
Is directing the first Batman movie.
Well, I hope so. And I'm fine with that. And
Batman is he's a comic fan. So I know that, I think that if him and Geoff Johns are writing it, and if he's directing it,
it's going to be good.
I think it will be a great Batman movie.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that we have this movie out, done, and over with.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking forward to Suicide Squad.
Yep.
I could care less about Wonder Woman because I don't care about Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
That property was not designed for me.
No.
So
literally not.
I mean, I don't care, but Batman, can't wait.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cannot wait for a Batman movie.
I'm telling you, man, and I don't know if we brought this up on the at all tonight, but if you've got kids...
Oh, no, don't take the
kids.
You've
got a kid that's under 13 years old.
Do not.
This is not a comic book movie.
Super dark.
Super dark. Batman's, super bleak.
Batman says,
Mom jeans.
I just wanted to have that in there. So
yeah,
it says, Batman said, Mom jeans.
Yeah. We've been waiting to get Batman to say Mom jeans for a long time.
Batman said the S word, people. Yeah.
You get a scene very early on where it's every part of Amy Adams' New York boobs, but you don't actually get to see any
nipple.
Of the good bits.
And that made me a little sad.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is like early on in the movie. She's just sitting there and you're like,
naked in the tube.
Like
that's Nakey Adams.
They had to digitally remove her nipples because there was
they
no
had
soap.
To.
Yeah.
And you could see everything and you're like, wait, she didn't have any nipples.
Yeah. So there's,
like, they had to have digitally just removed her nipples.
It's
weird.
Mom jeans and nipples. That's
they had to digitally remove her mom jeans.
Nipples is a technical term. You can say nipple.
There's a high body count. There are digitally removed nipples in this movie. There is, some very
and it was directed
violent,
by Zack Snyder.
And Zack Snyder has
Leonidas
his.
Chops Doomsday's head off.
Wait, what?
It's just a mess.
Gerard Butler was not in this movie.
Protect
he
your
kicked
children.
Him in a big hole and oh my god.
However, he does do that. Remember when he's got Superman knocked out, he picks him up and I thought he was going to break his neck.
I thought he was going to do like the break breaker. His back thing. Yeah.
And he like the way he picks it up to camera was like, "Wait, well that's weird." And then he just tosses him into a giant hole.
Yeah.
Zach's like, "I'll only direct these if we can get a big hole." See, what I'm really hoping is that Affleck's movies are going to be successful and they're going to do with Justice League what happened with Avengers. Eventually, he's going to have to move on.
Yep.
And like the Russo brothers have very successfully done in the Marvelverse.
Yeah,
have taken over
one movie.
And I tell you, I'm looking forward to what they're bringing to the table, but you know, if Baffleck could get a hold of it,
well,
that'd be good.
To jump onto Avengers, the problem with Age of Ultron was that you had Disney, it wasn't Disney, it was the guy that they had to answer to. And
Kevin,
he was like...
Kevin Feige.
No, Feige had to answer to this other guy, and now he doesn't have to answer to him.
Oh,
you're talking about the head dude
split.
Over Disney.
Yeah, the head dude over Marvel.
Oh,
now Feige only answers to Iger now.
Yeah, he only answers
and he
Iger.
Doesn't have to answer that guy over Marvel anymore. And because he was having to answer that guy over Marvel, he what's his name? The director from Avengers.
Josh Whedon?
Yeah, Whedon.
Josh Ron Whedon. Howard?
Yeah,
I'm,
he had to
I'm
put,
thinking it was Ron Howard.
He had to put a bunch of scenes in the movie that he didn't want.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Well, there was the
and
whole...
That was the problem with Avengers 2, is that it was a movie
it wasn't
that,
his movie.
It wasn't his movie.
There was a
and
whole,
that's why he's not back, is because he's like, look, they didn't let me do my movie. I'm done.
There was the whole sequence with Thor.
That
and
should not have been in there.
Ragnarok.
The Ragnarok.
No, it should have been in there because it was totally set where they were going to do, like, there was an extra several minutes of him going to wherever it was in that cave, or that spa or whatever it was, and he has the vision.
Spa.
Spa.
And
he goes to a day spa.
And he walks in the door, and suddenly he's in Ghostbusters.
Yeah, but the original script called for him to essentially get possessed.
Yeah.
And they did some testing, some test footage that they showed to some focus groups of Hemsworth acting that out and like them doing that.
Groups.
And people freaked over possession. And so apparently they got to Whedon and was like, you can't have this in this movie. People are not responding well to it.
Yeah,
which is why that part, like, you're like, Thor just disappears for
Ghost
some reason.
Ghost takes a bath.
And he takes a bath.
Sexually.
He has some, like, 15 or, like, 5-second vision of, like, an orgy happening back.
Only old Ragnarok.
And then that's it. Then he shows back up to fight at the very end. That's all there is.
Hello,
to
guys.
It.
I'm clean now.
But, yeah, that's why Whedon doesn't want to do
it. Let's get
all sweaty
again.
Like, he was like, it messed the whole flow of the movie up.
Yeah,
it really did.
It doesn't tell a good story. And he was very vocal after the movie came out. All his pre-press stuff was done. He was very vocal about, this was not my decision. If you didn't like it, talk to those folks over there, because I had nothing
now
to do with that.
They don't have to answer to that guy.
Which is
they
a shame.
Answer only to Iger, but it's too little too late.
Yeah,
because they've lost.
Well, you lost the best thing that ever happened to you.
Nah, the Russos are probably the best.
I will give that distinction to John Favreau. So,
I mean,
without Favreau, none
yeah,
of this
without
would be possible.
Favreau and, yeah. and Robert Downey Jr., we don't have anything.
No, we don't have anything.
I do like how Robert Downey Jr. finally did say, like, I'll keep playing Iron Man provided I don't do a solo film.
Yeah, he does. He said that Cap 3 is Iron Man 4.
And that makes sense. All right. Let's hear from you. How mad did we make you? Make you pretty mad.
We had a
did
lot to say
told you
about
that
this
Batman sucks.
Or did you?
No, Batman does not suck.
No, did you agree with us about any of this?
Shut up, Logan.
This movie wasn't great. Anyway, let us know over at JusticeGeeks.com and Twitter at JusticeGeeks and over on Facebook and all of those places where you can find us. Let's do jams. I tell you what's not my jam. Batman v Superman: Dawn of Justice.
This god awful movie.
Terrible.
Terrible.
Woo! Ethan Macaroni, what's your jam of the week, sir?
Keep talking and nobody explodes.
Yes, except when Logan's in control of the bomb, everybody explodes.
I've had that game so long on my PC. Finally got a chance to get you guys over to play it. James, I'm so sorry that you missed out on it.
I'm just going to need you to sit there and shut up.
I had to work anyway. So
this is something that we all need to get together and do very soon.
This is like Logan and I were talking this week about some stuff that we need to be doing, the old jug stuff. And like, I think that we should probably record an episode of us playing this. Like, we should also probably record us playing Cards Against Humanity.
Yeah. No, I don't think we should ever release that to the public.
I'm a fan of that. Anyway, yeah, the bomb game was quite fun.
I knew I'd heard always good things about it and how great it was. It is just, if you don't know what the game is, one person is sitting at the computer. They can see a bomb. It has several different modules on it, depending on the difficulty, and all of them are different puzzles that have to be solved. You can have any number of people with you that have the bomb defusal manual. And essentially, the game is all about communication.
Logan's terrible at.
No, I did really well.
Well, because he played before. None of us other people that were there had.
I know
before.
Emily got a little mad because I kind of snapped at her a bit, but she did not phrase her answer correctly to me. I'm sorry.
Wrong answer, Logan.
Yeah, wow. That's not how you get out of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, anyways, that's my jam. Let's move on before he gets
Emily, he's
whole
sorry. He's dumb.
He's not sorry, but he is dumb. James, what's your jam, sir?
Batman. Batfleck.
Batfleck.
Nah, he was. I think
he was great.
Ben Affleck was awesome. However, I've been out of town for 2 weeks. I got to practice with the band again this week.
Yeah.
Oh man, we've got some originals that are coming together really well.
I hope the one called Mom Jeans is like on the first album.
Nah, like we've got like one of our originals we've started working on like really hard work on, and it is coming together really well.
What's the name of the band?
Noise.
We don't have a band name yet.
Napalm Backflip Returns.
No, the lead guitarist for Napalm Backflip is still in Nashville, so.
Give James a band name. Yeah, hashtag free band
name. Stuff Front Flip.
Hot Stuff Front Flip. I hate you.
Crotch Sweat.
Yeah.
Daniel Radcliffe in the Meat Sweat.
But I'm not Daniel Radcliffe.
Huey Lewis and Skrillex.
Huey Lewis is dead. That's the name of it. I still think they're probably
dead. Huey Lewis and the Death of Print Media.
Oh. Horrible. Logan, your jam is apologizing to Emily, right?
Yeah.
No, it isn't.
Well,
it
better be.
I'm sorry. She could have phrased her answer better.
Stop.
She's going to come in here and whoop your mom, Dane.
She's not, but when she hears this, she's going to lose her
mom, Dane.
Oh, stop.
She should have told me. She
Shut the hell up, Logan. Quit talking. What's your jam? What's your legitimate jam?
My jam is Caster's Den and Iuka has started carrying comic books.
Oh, so really?
I made the jump.
I went today and I set up my pool box there.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah, I'm really excited.
I may have to get you to set me up a pool box and give you money every couple weeks.
That's fine.
I don't ever go to Iuka.
Yeah.
It's just Caster's right there. They're super friendly there.
You know what we should do?
Yeah, I mean, I've talked to Mike before. I've just never been.
We should like, convince.
We've been invited to go record out there.
I know. We should convince our friends at the Stash to open a secondary location.
Oh, here in Corinth?
In Corinth.
Yeah, you know, they used to have the Stash West Coast, and Brian Johnson shut that down real quick.
Oh, yeah?
He says he ran it into the ground because he ran it.
Well, he probably did.
He had homeless people help move them out whenever they closed. He didn't hire workers. He just went down the street asking homeless, hey, you want to make $20?
So I'll get good iterations of Batman v Superman in comic book form, maybe.
And you know that it's been 9 years since we were promised a Batman v Superman movie.
And we waited for this.
How long?
Winter of 2007, when I Am Legend came out, In the post-apocalyptic future, there is a Batman v Superman poster.
You are absolutely correct.
Oh, balls, guys. It's going to happen.
And it's the Superman logo inside
You mean they have had nearly 10
years. No, it's the Batman logo on top of the Superman logo. Okay,
yeah. They've had nearly 10 years, and that's the
No, they just teased it that long ago. They didn't start working on it until last month.
Josh, guys, did you not know that it was like live footage in the?
They streamed that Mom Jane like live. Like, you remember Grease Live and the Passion Live last weekend? Same thing.
Like, you got the first 30 minutes of the movie, like, you were streaming the next 30 minutes, like, downloading it, right? Yeah, nice. That's what I thought.
Josh, what's your jam of the week?
What my wife is going to do to you. And our good friend, the audio governor of Technical Ministries for JustUsGeeks.com.
For all the mom jeans today.
For all the
mom jeans
we don't give, he's had to give back for us. So there
you
go.
We love you, Gov.
There you go, Gov.
Yeah, Gov, you're going to have to spend a lot of time listening to this.
Mom jeans.
So let me give you one more. That movie was
mom jeans.
We love you, Gov. And you can check out the Gov's handiwork over on YouTube, youtube.com/JustUsGeeks
Very
podcast.
Good videos.
Oh, my God. We have better numbers than Lexicon themselves.
Our Lexicon videos are better than the official Lexicon videos.
Yep.
Maybe. Sweet woman of Jesus.
Sweet Jesus of woman.
Sweet woman of Jesus.
I think that maybe that is my actual jam. Is that one line?
Sweet woman of Jesus.
Sweet woman of Jesus.
Shout out to Jesus.
Buddy Christ
for letting Logan
twerk near him.
I don't know what you guys are talking about. That wasn't me.
That was our good friend Horse.
That was Horse.
Lojack Horseman.
You know, on the shirt it didn't say it's Logan.
You know, I did totally. I have to go to Charity Ball this year, which the theme is
Who's Charity Balls?
I guess mine for the donations I have to give them. The theme is the Kentucky Derby.
I love it when she licks my mom jeans.
Oh, my God.
So the theme this year is the Kentucky Derby. And I told Logan,
take the horse head.
Just me in a tuxedo with a horse mask on.
I told her, I was like, we could just act like I was confused. I'm the real Kentucky Derby.
Oh, that's awesome.
That I couldn't afford a real horse, so I brought my man in the horse mask.
I am a real horse.
I brought my horse servant.
That old dude walking down the street in Lexington thought he was a real horse. Mm. Oh, man, go watch those videos. All right.
They're better than the Lexicon videos.
They're better than Batman v Superman.
Yeah, that's for sure.
All right, that'll about do it for episode 209, the Mom Jeans edition of Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice, whatever it is.
The Dawn of Mom Jeans.
John of Dustus. Jaundice with Justice.
Jaundice of Justice.
We got the Jaundice of Justice.
This movie's going to give you jaundice.
It's going to give you the jaundice.
It is. Okay.
It's terrible.
So,
yeah. It's awful.
Go watch it.
Go see it.
Go see it and tell us what you really think of it.
Let us hear from you.
You're going to think it's awful.
Make sure you keep checking out JusticeGeeks.com for your daily dose.
Dawn of Justice Geeks.
That's brilliant.
What?
Sign in to your stuff for AMC. I can catch up on The Walking Dead.
He wanted to get you on the record. Okay. JusticeGeeks.com. Go do that thing. I'm going to bring some content back to the website next week, so go check it out over there. And we honestly have no flipping clue what is going on with How to Date Logan Barnes, so I'm just going to go put that up on the website.
He's given up.
No, we haven't, and it's not been our fault. So you'll find that this next week, too. That'll about do it. Do all those things. The social medias.
Jugheads.
Plug the old Facebook group, which is, by the way, almost at 100 members.
Almost. I'd like to see us get to 100.
If you're not a member of our Facebook group, search for Jugheads Incorporated. Become one. Lots of great discussion going on over there. Logan and Ian really are doing a great job of spearing that up.
Yeah, I don't do anything about it.
James.
I am not going to interact with you. James, I'm sorry.
James,
I'm just
going to
be up front.
At work.
I'm at work, and I can see it, but I don't have time to respond to anything.
He does have the time. He just doesn't want to.
Okay, I'm going to be honest. Since we're being frank here, we're going to cut all the bull. Mom, James.
Yeah.
I don't care enough to respond to anybody.
There you go. So don't talk to
James. This is the guy that you're listening to right now. Yeah. He's wonderful.
Hey, you know what? I don't like Christmas, so do you think I'm going to like anybody?
No.
I don't even like you guys that much.
You like Ben Affleck as Batman.
I do like Ben Affleck as Batman. And I think that me and Ben Affleck would be like really good friends if we ever got to hang out.
You know what I like?
What?
Recording a session of you and Logan playing Keep Talking.
I think we'd be fine. Yeah. It would be okay.
You know what I like?
What?
When she wears her mom jeans.
Yeah.
Say goodnight, everybody.
Goodnight, everybody.
You're wrong, Emily.
And you can kill him.